6. Good to see Brother Mike, Sister Delia Ridge this morning. Appreciate them popping in. It's always a great honor to be able to have them with us. I say this quite often, but Brother Mike Ridge, humanly speaking, started Liberty Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. And my family and I were greatly helped as a result of that church that is still going strong today. And we're thankful to the Lord for it. Psalm number 106. We're going to read a couple of verses at the beginning of the chapter and then one at the end. Psalm 106, verse number 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Now drop down, if you would, to the final verse, verse number 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I want to bring a message this morning on this 38th anniversary of Open Door Baptist Church entitled ODBC and Me. ODBC and me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you again for letting us gather. And I pray that you speak to our hearts this anniversary service. I pray that we would be challenged to be faithful to you as long as you give us air in our lungs. Lord, as long as you tarry your coming, may we be faithful to you. May the members of Open Door Baptist Church carry the gospel to our community around us, all around our country, to all around the world, as we're simply faithful to you. And again, if there's one here who is lost, Lord, help them to be found this morning. Help them to realize the simplicity of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps no one word better describes humanity than the word phases. The dictionary defines phase as a particular appearance or state in a regularly recurring cycle of changes. Also, a distinguishable part in a course, development, or cycle, or an aspect or part as of a problem under consideration. Our Creator geniusly and graciously constructed humankind and the world that serves Him with established cycles, insomuch that we can grasp science, the knowledge or system of knowledge covering general truths or the operation of general laws, especially as obtained and tested through scientific method. Those principles and procedures that involve the recognition and formulation of a problem, the collection of data through observation and experiment, and the formulation and testing of hypothesis. What am I talking about? I'm talking about phases. History comes along science and really helps its case, doesn't it? The more history we have, the more seemingly we can trust the science. History tells us that there is a problem in our world, while also supplying for us enough data to establish the proper solution. History helps to inform the writer of this psalm concerning how to be blessed for the future. Now, I want you to notice this, Psalm 106, verse number 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. That word blessed in verse number 3 is the word happy. It's the Hebrew word esher. And history helps to inform the writer of this psalm concerning how to be blessed or happy for the future. Now, how can he be so sure? Well, he has sufficient history. Psalm 68:11 says it like this: the Lord gave the word. I don't believe the Lord there is actually talking about God. But nevertheless, the Lord gave the word. Great. The word is abundant or sufficient. Great was the company of those that published it. Great, abundant, sufficient was the company of those that published it. So even before the scriptures were completed, God had given in different ways sufficient history for mankind so that he could know how to be blessed or happy for the future. Within the vast and storied history of mankind is the history of Open Door Baptist Church. We may say with the certainty of science that its history parallels the phases of humanity in general and Israel specifically. Now, I want you to notice, we're not going to read all of these verses for sake of time, but there are some phases here in Psalm number 106, and these phases are marked by places. Phases marked by places. First, we see in verses 7 through 12, the sea. The sea. This is a phase that the children of Israel were involved in their existence. And he talks about the wonders that the Lord did leading up to his rescue and his deliverance of them across the Red Sea. The Bible says that the Lord made the sea even as a wilderness, even as dry land as they crossed over. He talks about all the things leading up to that, the wonders that God did in Egypt leading up to the sea. It's a phase marked by a place. Then he gives another phase, verses 13 through 33. And that is the phase of the wilderness, marked by this place called the wilderness. And he tells different accounts as they're wandering about in the wilderness of their doubt and their unbelief and their fear and their sin. In the wilderness, as they wander round and round, not getting very far all along, wandering in the wilderness. And then the final phase that he mentions, marked by a place, is the land. The land. Verses 34 through 46 of Psalm 106. He talks about them entering that promised land, that Canaan land that they entered, and the battles that were had, and how that they had some victories, but it wasn't the complete victory that God had commanded them to have. These are phases marked by places. And isn't it interesting as we think about these phases and we consider even individuals, just the individual human being in the phases of his life. He's overwhelmed at the beginning, even by water of the way the Lord has made it. He's overwhelmed. There's not really a whole lot he can do for himself. Very similar to the children of Israel and the way that they were overwhelmed. They really couldn't do a whole lot for themselves. Others ultimately helped them, the Egyptian people, with the riches and the goods to be able to even get out of the land and make their way. And isn't that the way it is for the individual? How about the student? you maybe that are starting a new level of classes, or maybe you're in middle school now, or you're going into high school, these different levels of schooling, maybe just entering college or something like that, and that feeling of being overwhelmed when you initially start. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. It seems like I can't really do a whole lot for myself. Overwhelmed. What about the employee? You ever been on a new job? I started a new job 3 years ago about today. A new job. Pastor. It looks pretty easy from the outside, you know. I mean, it looks like it's something I could do. You ever been that way on a job? You approached a job and maybe somebody coached you for a little while and sort of showed you the ropes of the job, and you thought, oh yeah, piece of cake, I can do it. Sort of the same way we did it here that first year. Pastor Bush coached me, you know, along the way. He was the pastor shouldering the responsibility, but helping me along the way. And my previous pastor, Pastor Patterson, sort of helped me the same way in that regard. But then the day comes where you're by yourself, and you're in the leadership chair. You're doing the job. It can feel quite overwhelming, like you really can't do a whole lot for yourself. How about being a new spouse? People ask the question, how do you know you're ready to be married? And I don't know if there's a good answer for that question, other than saying you really never know for sure. You really never know for sure. You feel overwhelmed. The waters are coming in on you. And I've counseled many different young couples, not necessarily formal counseling, but they'll come to me and sort of be recounting some sort of situation. And I haven't been married long like some of you in here have been married. You know, some of y'all have crested the 50 mark, you know, and you just stop counting after that. But, you know, I've had some younger couples that come to me and tell me about certain things and all that. And I just tell them, look, it gets better. And then it gets worse, but then it gets better, you know, and that's just the way it goes. It feels overwhelming. Can I get a witness from some married folks today? I'm talking about the sea. You know, then you get to the wilderness in each of these phases of life, the individual, the student, the employee, the spouse, etc., etc., and you get in the wilderness, and it seems like you've crossed a great hurdle. But now it seems like you're sort of just running the wheels somewhat and not really getting very far. It's taken a whole lot of time to do what seems to be the simplest of tasks in the wilderness. Do a lot of learning and a lot of bumping of the head and a lot of lessons and these types of things going on in the wilderness. Finally comes the day where you reach the land. You get your feet underneath you, and as a lot of athletes have said, the game begins to slow down. And you're able to actually begin to build something and seem like you're accomplishing something and getting something done. In all of these phases, though, we fail and we're limited and we're weak. We'll get into it here in just a second, but we see that right here in this chapter. These phases marked by places. Now notice the plea with proper placement. Notice what he says in verse number 4 again. Psalm 106:4, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Now notice the way that he places himself with these people in verse number 6. We. He talks in verse number 5, three things. I may rejoice, I may see, I may glory. But he says in verse number 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. So he pleads with the Lord, but he also places himself in the proper context. He says, I'm not any better or maybe not any worse than those that went before me. But God, I want you to work in me. And I want you ultimately to work in us the way that you worked in them. History has shown that there's a problem. And God, we have our problems as they had their problems. But Lord, I'm pleading with you that I might see the good of thy chosen and rejoice in the gladness of thy nation and glory with thine inheritance. So let me give you three things here in the message this morning. Number one, I want you to just notice these are very simple. Perpetual blessing. Perpetual blessing. Now the words are very interesting to me. We read verse number 48. And the Bible says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. But when we read in verse number 3, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. There's something there even in the context. We don't have to know the Hebrew words. Although I will say this, the word blessed in verse number 3 and blessed in verse number 48 are two different Hebrew words. They're completely different. But if you just look at the context, you understand and you get a sense of what the difference is. Read it again, verse number 3. Blessed are they that. Here's a qualifier. Now the word is happy. In other words, happy are those, blessed are those that do this and that do that. They'll be happy when they do this certain thing. But when we get to verse number 48 and the Bible says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, guess what? There is no qualifier. What a wonderful thing that is. From everlasting, eternity past, to everlasting, eternity future, God is, here's the word in verse number 48, higher in rank than anyone. That word in verse number 48 is a word that means to be saluted to, or to be bowed to. God is higher in rank. Just like a soldier or an employee or is lesser in rank would approach his superior with a proper respect and all of that, we see the same thing in verse number 48. And I am so thankful that regardless of what man attempts to do to bring God down to our level, whether that be physically or morally or whatever it may be, irregardless, all of the evil and wicked angels and all of humankind can attempt to bring God down, but I want to encourage you this morning, Open Door Baptist Church, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. It will not change. You say, what are you trying to say this morning, Brother Taylor? What I'm trying to tell you is God has no phases. What a blessing. He is consistently blessed from everlasting to everlasting. We can lean on him. We can rely on him. We can trust him because he is forever blessed. Israel, as a group of people, had bought into the Lord God being their God. They had bought into it. He says, remember, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Thy people, and the way that we are his people is we buy into that fact. The Lord owns us anyway, but then he gives us a choice, a decision. Do you want to be my child? Do you want to be my son? Do you want to be my people? And when we buy in, based on the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ, when we buy in using that means, God says, you're one of mine. Israel as a group of people had bought in to the Lord God being their God. There was no other supposed God, no other entity, no other leader, no other place, that was perpetually blessed, that they could count on, that whether they were up or down, whether they were good or bad, whether they were making proper decisions or improper decisions, whether they were discouraged or whether they were encouraged, they could count on and rely on Jehovah God to be perpetually blessed. So we see perpetual blessing in the Lord. But that perpetual blessing, at least temporarily, is passed to us when there's qualifiers. Verse number 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Now I'm thankful there's not one of us that can say that we do righteousness at all times. We experience that in our lives. I'm thankful that the shed blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So that from a positional standpoint, we're considered righteous in the eyes of God. But we certainly see the phases in the Christian life, don't we? Times where we're doing righteousness, times where we're keeping judgment, where we're living by the Word, God blesses us. He makes us happy. Even when circumstances are the least favorable, God can bring a delight and a joy to the soul. I've been following, as many of you have, Sister Nadia Shaver's journey through cancer. Boy, she's had it rough, given a lot of detail concerning the journey that the Lord has her on. Her and her husband called to be missionaries to Iceland. Just getting ready, I think they had just started deputation to go to the field. And now stricken with this illness, and right now I know that she's dealing with COVID on top of that. And I've just watched her posts, and she's been very, very honest about it. There are better days and there are better times and all of that, but I'm amazed at what the Lord has done in her life, even as her body is seemingly betraying her. The Lord God has blessed her. And we can be blessed as well when we keep His judgment, do righteousness at all times. So that's perpetual blessing. Number 2, I want you to notice people bowing. People bowing. Verse 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Now notice, and let all the people say, Amen. We read that same phrase many different times in Scripture. And the Bible says the exact same thing, that all the people said, Amen. Now I want to ask you a question this morning, and I'm really not picking, as people would maybe put it or say. This is really not a rabbit trail, but it is something that I find curious within myself. And there are extremes on all sides of this sort of thing. But you know, we have the truth of the Scriptures right before our eyes this morning. We're in a good local Bible-believing church. We've got a heritage of Baptist people that went before us, paid an extreme price so that we could be free today, even in this country, to worship the Lord. A preacher gets up and preaches the book, or a Sunday school teacher, or maybe a mom and dad, or what have you, And I'm just amazed, because I grew up in the type of church, and it wasn't necessarily the camp meeting type. You know, there's sort of maybe an extreme on that side of it or whatever. But I grew up in the type of church that the man of God would preach the Word of God, and the people would say, Amen. Now, I'm not talking about saying amen in their heart. When I look at the Word of God and I see these other passages of Scripture, I see people saying with their lips. Amen. The word is truly or verily or we agree or I agree. That's the word, amen. And the Bible says that all the people said amen. He says here, let all the people say amen. And I wonder maybe that some of the issues we don't have, and I'm not saying that we ought not live it out in our life, live out this response of amen. Certainly we ought to do it with our lives and with our lips, and we ought to do it in word and witness. We ought to do that. But I wonder sometimes if some of our young people don't sit in a Sunday school class or a church service or maybe a Christian school or somewhere, hear the word of God preached, listen to the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted, the songs of Zion be sung, things like this going on that are true and real, more true and real than anything we can see with our physical eyes, and not a peep from the congregation. Let all the people say, amen. By the way, I know some Baptists would frown on this, but I don't see where it said, let all the men say amen. I'm sad to say, some of you men, the ladies will put you to shame if we just allow them. I'm not talking about taking over a service and being out of control of the Spirit of God, trying to get attention for oneself. I'm not talking about any of those things, but I'm simply saying the truth is preached, and somebody saying, amen, preacher, I agree with that. Our young people ought to look around. They ought to know people are on board with the truth. We're on board with the Lord. They can look around and say they believe it. They not only believe it by their lips, they believe it with their life. We can tell it's lived out. These people bow. They're subservient. They yield to the Lord God in their lives. What's the message? That God is right. God is right. Even when my opinion differs, when my viewpoint differs, when my way of thinking is opposed to God's, my response needs to be amen. Romans chapter 3. People bowing. That's what Open Door Baptist Church needs. The Lord with Terry is coming for the next 38 years. It needs a people bowing before the Lord, giving up our ways for His ways, our thoughts for His thoughts, our motives for His motives. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? These are the people that he was talking about in Psalm 106. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. There's the history we've been talking about. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? We certainly see times in the history of the children of Israel where some did not believe, a majority did not believe. And there's a remnant standing up and still saying, blessed be the Lord God. God always has a remnant. But it goes on to say in verse number 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. He always overcomes, whether he does in our minds, hearts, and lives. God always overcomes because he's always blessed. And what we need to learn to do is simply to bow to Him and say, amen. Perpetual blessing. People bowing. And finally, I want you to notice, again in verse number 48, praise bestowed. The same way that the chapter starts is basically how it ends. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. We sing that song. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. I didn't know it as a kid. It's the same word. Hallelujah, the way we pronounce it anyway. We don't pronounce anything right when it comes to the Hebrew and the Greek. I get that, okay? None of us are scholars here today. Maybe Brother Rich, he might be a scholar. Other than that, I don't know anybody, okay? And you know, when I preach in front of preachers like Brother Coley, Brother Ridge, Pastor Bush, been doing it a long time, I just say, just don't listen, don't listen, don't listen. I know, I'm stepping all over myself. But that's the word, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. To boast or make a show of God. Praise is the proper and fruitful outcome of a bowing people. Praise is the proper and fruitful outcome of a bowing people. In other words, it's really a very natural sort of a thing when we do what we're supposed to do. We know we go through our phases. When we do what we're supposed to do, we recognize that God is perpetually blessed. We give ourselves to Him, certainly in the matter of salvation, but as a people of God in our lives, in our home life, in our family life, in our church life, in our work life, in all of our life, He permeates everything. He gets involved in every area. We realize He's perpetually blessed and His way is best. And even when I'm going through my phases in life, I can lean on Him, I can rest in Him, I can trust in Him. And as a result of that truth, learn by experience, by history. I mean, we learn in the Christian life how much God is blessed. And we bump our heads in the wilderness and don't get very much accomplished. And God says, are you ready to follow me now? Are you ready to be obedient now? And we learn by experience through the phases of life, God is blessed. And we begin to bow to Him more and more. Lord, I yield to You. Lord, You're right. I'm wrong. It doesn't matter how I see things. God, Your word is right. Let me follow You. We bow. And out of that naturally comes praise. Praise is not just some random wild show. I'm not saying that praise won't affect our physical being and we won't jump up and down and get excited, clap our hands and do a little dance and all. I'm not saying praise cannot come forth like that. But I'm saying primarily it is lived out of a life that has been bowed to the everlastingly blessed God. Praise comes forward. I'll close with this morning. I read again, learned some various facts, more so about the piece that was done by George Friedrich Handel. Handel's Messiah. Now, Handel did not write that Messiah as far as the words are concerned. There was another man that arranged the words of the Messiah. By the way, if you've never listened to it all the way through, I'd encourage you to do it, even if you're not a classical music kind of person. I like a lot of genres of Christian music. Now, don't start throwing stones at me, all right? Some of y'all are stuck on one certain type of genre, and I'm okay with that. It's okay. I understand. A lot of it just tends to be how you were raised, and you know, if you're raised a certain way, well, that genre's completely wrong, and this one is completely right, all that. And people go to seed on this sort of stuff, and I'm not here to argue with them this morning, but I'm just going to say this. You can listen to Handel's Messiah all the way through, and all it does is exalt the Lord God. From His birth, to His life, to His death, to His resurrection, to His eternal reign, and you begin to read about Handel's life, and I don't know whether he was a believer or not. I know I read that he never married. There were some women that were after him. He was a very talented, gifted musician. He was a very wealthy, very, very wealthy individual. Not simply because his family, who actually had some wealth, but he made an abundance of wealth based on his musical compositions and so on and so forth. Handel gave the majority of his wealth away in his life. I'm talking about to orphanages, to hospitals and things of that nature. And when he died, he bequeathed a large majority of sum to the same group. Handel. I don't know if he's a believer or not. But is it any wonder that the crowning gem of Handel's Messiah is that song that says, "Hallelujah." You listen to that? Beautiful. And it was not written, and you can read the history about it and find this out. It wasn't really written, the entire Messiah composition wasn't really written for individuals. It was written for the conglomerate, for the congregation, if you will. What does all that have to do with ODBC and me? You know, we can look back at the history of Open Door Baptist Church. Some of you have been here a lot longer than I have. You've grown up here and you've seen some different phases. Even as you've gone through different phases, there have certainly been some very high victorious marks in the years of Open Door Baptist Church, and there have certainly been some low marks, some times that we would take some things back and change some things if we could. But I'm so grateful we can rely on the everlastingly blessed Lord. And we come to that point in our life where we enter the Canaan land, the promised land, and we begin to grow more and more. It seems like the Lord is actually using us as he used our fathers to build something. And what we need to do is simply bow to the Lord. Lord, I don't agree with that preacher. I don't agree with the word. Well, you better come to terms with that and bow before the Lord. His ways truly are best. What will come out of that is praise to God. Praise to God. What I want for my life personally, what I desire for the next 38 years of Open Door Baptist Church, if the Lord tarries his coming, I want God to be praised. That's it. I want God to be praised. Irregardless of other goals, other ways that we attempt to follow his leading in our life, I want the Lord to be praised. Whether we're ever a, quote, big church, unquote, or whether we just stay a small church, quote, unquote, I want the Lord to be praised. Whether we're known in our area or in our state or throughout our nation or throughout the world, or whether we're completely unknown, I want the Lord to be praised.